Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
Embarrass any of you all or not, but I just saw a few people go, just get that one. Well, yeah, it's not going to work. You know, why are we studying faith? I named this class Faith Food to Go. You know, faith food, food to go. And it's because we're a society on the go. I'm embarrassed to tell you how many times my children go through the McDonald's line. I'm embarrassed to tell you that my son's, you know, some of his first, you know, symbol recognition, it really wasn't the cross, it was the big M, the yellow M. Oh, McDonald's! I'm like, yeah, he's totally Americanized, as you can tell. But we are in a fast society where we want things instantly and want things fast, but the one thing that we should desire more than anything else is God's Word. And so what this class is a small time that I can have with you to just give you God's Word so that you can go out with it. You can digest it, get it in you, and go out with it. You can chew on it during the week. You can give it away. But it's God's food to go. Jesus says that he's the bread of life. He is the food that we need. And if we're going to have abundant life, like John 10:10 says that we can have, we have to have Jesus' food. If we're going to live like Jesus, then we have to have that spiritual food that he had. So that's why we're called Faith Food to Go. You know, the gospel, God's good news. There's an interesting scripture in Hebrews 4:2. Hello? I could blame it on the people that are coming in, but actually I just messed up. Hebrews 4:2 says, I'm going to read it to you. For we have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. You know that you can sit here in this temple this morning and hear the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword and able to cut asunder to the joint and marrow to get to the heart of a man. You can hear the word of God, which can heal your body while you sit here. You can hear the word of God, which can heal the places in your mind and the brokenness in your spirit and the memories that you've had in your past and the things you thought you would never get over. The word can heal that. And the word can take you to places you never thought you could go. And yet you can come here and hear it and receive nothing if it's not combined with faith. And so we're talking this morning about what is faith, and in this series, what is faith, and the Bible definition for faith is in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. That's the definition of faith. But I need a lot more than that. I mean, it shows me that it may be what I can't see, and I may be what I can't hear, and it may be what I can't smell, but it's still a substance. In other words, faith matters. And that's faith. And so looking at this, I see Hebrews 4:2 tells me that if I don't have faith, I can sit in here and hear the word, and it won't even do anything in my life. And so I'm going to stop us again. Y'all know I'll do this. And sometimes I stop and pray again because I need it. But I'm going to stop again and pray because I need it and I think we need it to say, God, we humbly ask you to let us combine this message with faith. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, I call upon your mercy and your love as your children that you've created before the foundation of the world, and you knew congregation in this place. You know every hello and every goodbye we've ever said in our lives. You know the deepest core of our heart. You know the deepest hurts and our deepest hopes. You know our dreams and our fears and our joys, our sorrows. You know our greatest unspoken concern. We come to you absolutely naked this morning, and we ask you, Father, that this not be just another good talk, or I checked off church off my list, and now I can go to La Fonda. Father, we want to be changed, and we need you. We ask that your word would not return void, but that it would do everything within our lives that you sent it to do, and you've purposed for it to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How do I combine the gospel with faith? Number one, receive the Holy Spirit. That's really easy. You know, like a little child, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he came to take the sins of the world upon his shoulders, my sins and yours, past, present, and future. Isn't that amazing? You know, somebody said, but, you know, what about when you become a Christian? I hear all of these testimonies like, I did do this, and I did do that, and I did do this. What about the stuff you do while you are? Those are the kind of testimonies I need. Well, actually, I'm still pretty selfish. Actually, I still have a long way to go. But see, Jesus even died for what we would do in the future. All of us. I love the fact, and I don't even understand it yet, that Jesus discipled and loved and poured himself into Judas. And he knew he would betray him. That's how much he loves us. And that's how much choice he gives us. But it's also a pretty solemn picture for me that I can sit at Jesus' feet and I can take in his words and I can even work for him, quote unquote, as Judas did, and I can still betray him. I mean, that's how much choice God gives us. And Jesus loves me no less. I think I've betrayed Jesus before, have you? Just in my actions or things I thought I'd never do or say, and he's still, I mean, this morning he tells us in Lamentations 3:21 that his mercies are new every morning. And he doesn't want us to come here with our head hung down. He doesn't want us to feel like, you know, I'm in time out until I do something really good. Christians sometimes make you feel that way. Oh, that's so-and-so. They did such-and-such. We're not to associate with him until they've done, you know, penance. He wants you to have your head up high and to say, I'm a child of God, to receive his word. So we receive the Holy Spirit, and when we do, the Holy Spirit can amplify the word of God to us, and it's more than words. When we hear the words, we start to take them to heart. And so if anyone here has not asked Jesus to come and be their Savior, and be their Lord. See, there's a difference, you know. He wants to be both. And a lot of people have Jesus as their Savior, you know. Like, I believe he's God's Son, and I believe he died for me. Okay, I said the prayer. I was at camp. There was a campfire. We were on top of a mountain. Had on my favorite T-shirt. I was 14. Said the prayer. Jesus, come to my heart. Yeah, but you're now 45. See, having him as my Lord says, you know what? I've been through enough on this earth to know that I'm pretty capable of getting my life pretty messed up. Matter of fact, I'm really good at it. Better let, even give me a week without God's guidance and without being in the Word, and I can mess things up pretty good. Is anyone else relating to this whatsoever? Yes. See, making him my Lord is saying, God, you know, it's a power struggle with me. I'm kind of like Jacob, and he wrestled with that angel. But See, God respected that when Jacob wrestled with that angel, because he sees all of us like Jacob. And we're all wrestling for control of our life, and yet I still have that in my heart. God, I so want you to be my Lord, not just my Savior. So asking God to be our Lord and letting Him amplify His Word to us. And then second, how do I combine the gospel with faith? Pay attention to God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, give attention to my Word. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it, or don't let it depart from your heart. Keep it in the midst of your eyes, for it will be life to those that find it and health to all your flesh. So it's saying pay attention to the Word. And you know, that's a big indicative word to me, because the word pay means that I'm going to have to give something up. Right? I mean, I'm going to have to give up daydreaming somewhere else while I'm in church. If anyone is asleep next to you, would you wake them up so that they're not further embarrassed? I'm trying to not look at anybody, but I'm teasing. But I'm also going to have to give up time. Our most precious commodity today is time. T-I-M-E, time. And I'm going to have to give up something else to spend some time in the Word so that I'm paying attention to the Word, so that when I hear the Word, it can be combined with faith and it can make a difference in my life. It's going to cost me something. And, you know, I hear salvation's free, salvation's free, salvation's free. And it is. It's a free gift. It's so amazing that it's a free gift that I can go to heaven and you can go to heaven through Jesus Christ. It's a free gift that I can have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. It's a free gift that I can have the wisdom of God operating in my life. It's a free gift that I can have life and life abundant on this earth, that I can have the ability to love. I don't even have the ability to love unless God gives it to me, because God is love. It just means you got a little part of God in you when you're able to love. And when you're able to love someone who's persecuting you, well, that's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother high. And that feels pretty good. But it's a free gift. But what's not free is that I've got to pay attention to His Word so His Word can speak to my heart. I got to give it my attention. And sometimes when we have to pay something, we've got to give up something else, you know? We just do. I joke a lot about how much I love clothes and all that stuff, and spending money and that kind of thing. But the truth is, I really am pretty frugal, to tell you the truth. Somebody gave me these pants. A babysitter gave me this shirt. Yes, it does fit me. We were at the mall yesterday, which is kind of rare because we have our 3-year-old, you know, at the mall, and our 10-year-old at the mall, and then my husband at the mall who hates shopping, and me. Just the perfect Saturday morning. Everyone's getting along. No one's talking out of turn. Certainly no one's not arguing. Everyone wants to go where everyone else wants to go, because we all care about each other. Okay, so you all know I'm lying now. But we had fun. But I went into a store, Banana Republic, and they had the most beautiful sweater, and I just realized, you know, that's just too expensive, because I'd really have to give up something else in order to get that sweater. And we just do that naturally in life. Well, God tells us that we have to give up time, some part of what we're doing, to spend some time with Him. And it can be so sort of strange to give something up when we're used to doing something a certain way. I'll tell you a really recent story. Yesterday, we bought my 3-year-old Storm, who is aptly named, brand new tennis shoes. And he has a favorite pair of tennis shoes, and he calls them his yayo tennis shoes. Of course, in 3-year-old language, you all know that means yellow. These are white. Let me back up. These used to be white leather tennis shoes that I bought, Will Pleather, at Target somewhere for like $11. $10.99. That's $11, don't you think? Why do they put 99? And Storm potty trained in these tennis shoes. Need I say more? yo-yo. And the stitching is coming off the top of the tennis shoes, but they're so comfortable, and they fit his foot perfectly, and they're Velcro, and he's worn them for a long time. And he loves these tennis shoes, but they are disgusting. He can't wear them anymore. And we as his parents were saying, Storm, you've got to give up these yellow tennis shoes. I love my yo-yo tennis shoes. But you've got to give up these yellow tennis shoes. They just don't fit you anymore. We can get you something better. Well, it was just a major tug of war until finally he saw a better pair. And he has a better pair. We found some at Payless. They fit. We're good to go. But it was the biggest deal to throw away those yo-yo tennis shoes. And see, we've got those yo-yo tennis shoes in our lives, too. We have those things that God says, hey, you know what? This used to fit with your time. This used to fit in your life. But it doesn't fit anymore. Matter of fact, you can't wear it anymore. You know, you used to be able to watch TV from 8 until 10 till you fell at night, but asleep at night till you fell in bed at night. But I'm telling you that if you want to have the kind of life that Jesus died to give you, you've got to give up a little bit of that and pay attention to God's Word. I'm telling you, you're going to have to remember to bring your Bible to church. I'm telling you that that's paying attention to God's Word. Because it's not a game anymore, you know? It's needing His Word so desperately. What do we tell our friends who've lost everything in New Orleans? What do we tell them? What's going to come out of us is whatever we've put into us. Gee, I'm really sorry. When we need the Word, that's when we need to have it stored up in our hearts. And it can make the difference of life and death for us. You know, there's a faith secret, and I've never really been able to, like, hone it down. But I was writing last night. I had a little bit of time, and I ran upstairs because I said, Lacey, I really don't know what I'm supposed to teach tomorrow, and I just need a little bit of time. And I wrote it down, and I really think that it's another faith secret. Like yesterday, the faith secret that's huge in my life is that love is the key, Galatians 5:6. If faith is the car, love is the key. Because Galatians 5:6 says that love is the activator of faith. Reciprocally, I'll say this. Faith is activated by love. Other versions say faith is operated by love. And so the key to faith is always love. If you ever wonder why your faith's not working, you might want to see if your love's working. And so, secret number two for me is this. The voice you obey will be the voice you hear. The voice you hear will be the voice you've meditated on. You know, the voice that you obey in your life will be the voice that you hear inside you. And the voice that you hear inside you will be the voice that you've meditated on. When I was in the hospital taking chemo and I was being told that I had a very short time to live, if I was going to live, I was told that I may not even make it through the first round of chemo. Without chemo, I had 2 weeks. With chemo, I had a 50-50 chance. And I had lots of statistics coming my way and lots of voices coming my way and lots of science and medical stuff. But see, when I was alone at night, my mom wanted to stay with me, by the way, but she snores. She does really bad. She's not here this morning. And usually my parents do come solely to defend their reputation, but they were out of town, and I'm taking total advantage of that. But it was really sweet because, you know, no parent wants to leave their child when they're going through something like that. But I said, Mom, you've just got to be my day friend. You've got to be my day friend because you snore. So here I am at night, you know, you're bald, got tubes coming out of your heart. I hear code red, all night long. I'm on the oncology ward. Code red means heart and respiratory failure. It's real. You're in the battle zone. Have you ever been there? You probably have in some other way, you know, where you feel that way with one of your children, or you just can't seem to get up in the morning, or you just feel such a loss in your life. Maybe the dearest person in the whole world to you went on to be with the Lord, and you just feel like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. voice that you've meditated on. It's the voice that you've paid attention to. It's the voice that you gave up something to be with. And I kept hearing God's voice and God's word and God's voice. And I had the peace that surpasses all understanding. I heard the scriptures that I tried to memorize, and I'm not a good memorizer by nature. It may surprise some of you. It's painful for me to memorize because I'm one of those song hummers, you know? You ever have those friends that they remember all the words to all the songs you all used to listen to, and you just look at them like, even the rap ones, they're like, hey, and they know all the, you're thinking, how do you know that, you know? Even like just stuff you do in college, and they know all the words you used to say and sing. Well, I'm like the hummer, you know, I'm like, I know how the tune goes, but I don't really know the words. So learning words to me, I mean, I tape scriptures on my window. I tape scriptures in my car. I tape scriptures everywhere because I found that I don't want to be left in the lurch ever with my own thoughts and with the voice of disaster or the voice of the world. I need God, and you need God today. We need to hear His voice and pay attention to His voice and store it up. How many of you went to HGB, when was it, last Friday, and found that there was no water? Anyone? And then you went to the gas station and you stood in line behind about five cars and thought, what in the world is going on? See, people perceived that there might be a shortage. There might be a situation in which they would need gas or water, and so they went to the source and got it just in case. How much more do we need to do that with God's Word and comboed with faith? But the actual memorizing of it isn't all that exciting. I remember memorizing Romans 8, a scripture that says, I think it's Romans 8:15. But it says, you've not been given a spirit of bondage, which leads again to fear, but a spirit of adoption, whereby you can cry out, Abba, Father. And I memorize that because I tend to have somewhat of a obsessive, compulsive, worrying, fearful, oh my gosh, here are the 15 things no one ever even thought of that I thought of could happen that are bad, personality by nature. And so I needed to realize that God hasn't given me that spirit. He didn't give me a spirit of bondage, which leads again to fear and worry and doubt, but a spirit of adoption, a spirit of sonship or daughtership, whereby I'm allowed to cry out, Dad. Isn't that the greatest thing, that God is just your dad? You know, some of us might be pretty excited if our dad was like the president, you know. Most of us are, you know, his age, but anyway, or older. But say your dad was the president. That'd be pretty exciting. But to realize that my dad is God, he runs the whole thing, you know. This is his place. I'm his kid. And so it's not that exciting to memorize scripture until it changes your life and then till something even more exciting happens. It changes somebody else's life. And you have somebody who, a situation, actually, a real life situation where I was talking to an individual, an adult, who does not know who her birth parents are and who's fearful about so many things and who just went through life trying to find a place, and to work her way into being okay to stay there. And I was able to say, you know what? God actually has a word specifically for you. So you've not received a spirit of bondage, which leads again to fear, but a spirit of adoption, whereby you can call out, Abba, Father. It's just like, really? That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. That's one of her favorite scriptures now. See, it's when we've stored it up enough to where it not only brings us faith for our own life, but we can give it away and see the power of God in people's lives. When we read the Word of God, we're hearing God's voice. But when we hear God's voice through the Word of God and it's specifically to us, then we're hearing God's voice for us. And that's what Lacey and I always pray for this class, that we don't have like a, you know, I guess some business plans or whatever they would be like, the goal of today's lesson is for people to come away with this or this or this, or we're having this meeting so that we can execute this and this and this, and for everyone to walk away on the same page with this in mind. No, my prayer and Lacey's prayer is that the word would go forth from an imperfect vessel and that God would speak so directly to you that it would hit you right where you need it. And that's why we're so excited and surprised when someone comes up and says, you know, I'm so thankful that you all spoke on, and then they'll say what it is, and I'll think, I didn't speak on that. I didn't even know I spoke on that. Because God's word is his written word, his logos written word, but it's also his rhema word, which is his word from you, from him directly to you. And in this scripture, I want you to hear what I'm saying. You've heard this before, John 10:3-5, but hear what I'm saying again. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He calls us by name, all of us sitting here by name, and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Again, that's John 10:3-5. And you know, I thought about that. Do not recognize means that you can't identify something because you've never perceived it before. If you don't recognize somebody, then you can't identify them because you've never seen them before. You've never heard them. You've never perceived them. And God says that we are to hear the word of God and follow it like sheep that recognize the master's voice. But how do I learn to recognize his voice? Through hearing his voice. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, to where I'm used to the way that God speaks and I'm used to the way that God talks and I follow it. But what's so exciting in that, I've been taught that so many times, but what's so exciting about that scripture to me is that it says, he calls me by name. He calls you by name. And so I was upstairs thinking about that, and I thought, you know, God, give me some examples of that. And I thought about, there's so many, but three I have written down. One is Lazarus. And Lazarus was once dead, you know, completely dead, in the tomb 4 days, the word says. No hope. You know, no possibility of any help. And yet Jesus went to Lazarus's tomb, called him by name, and he came forth. It says in the Word of God that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. You know what I get excited about that? It's because some of you have dead dreams, and some of you have deadness inside you. And you've had a lot of people calling your name. And you've even tried to get out of the tomb yourself. But see, it's when Jesus says to you, come forth, that you can be resurrected and that he can even take those things that you thought were your greatest disaster and turn them into your greatest good. Romans 8:28 says he can. It says all things work for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. It didn't say anything about being perfect. It didn't say anything about memorizing scripture. It didn't say anything about even your lifestyle. It says those that love God and are called according to his purposes. Lazarus, come forth. I thought of someone else, too, who I relate to. I think Saul. Acts 9:4 says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? When the voice of the Lord is speaking to Saul. See, because here's somebody really trying to do the right thing and they're really sincere. They're just sincerely wrong. But isn't that good? Because I worry about that as if I didn't have enough to worry about. say, God, you know, what about all the people who were sincerely wrong? And God's always said to me, do you think I love them less? Look at Saul. I will meet them on the road to Damascus. I will do whatever it takes. I will call their name. The people that feel like everything dead is in their life, Lazarus, come out. I will call them by name. People who are sincerely wrong, but they're sincere, I will call them by name. Saul, Saul. And then another person that God reminded me of is I was praying and thinking about this last night, is Zacchaeus. Does anybody remember Zacchaeus? Does anyone know how to spell Zacchaeus? You know, I was in the concordance because I knew the story, but I didn't know where the story was. And I was looking up all these different spellings of Zacchaeus. Well, so you know, it's Z-A-C-C-H-A-E-U-S, in case anyone wants to name their next child Zacchaeus or their lab. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. It tells me two things. He had a lot of money, and he had a lot of enemies. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way, and when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, hey, little man. No, he didn't. You know what he said? He called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I will come to your house. See, I love that. Why did Jesus call him by name? Because Zacchaeus, the word says, wanted to see who he was. And he didn't let anything stop him. He ran ahead. He climbed a tree. You know, imagine a wealthy man just for a moment. You know what I'm saying? Just imagine. Because these are real-life people in real-life situations. But he really wants to know, is this the truth? Because I've seen a lot of people that are hypocrites. I've seen a lot of stuff that I didn't agree with. But I want to know the truth. He ran ahead of the crowd, climbed a tree, and Jesus called him by name. And see, you may even be here this morning going, you know what? I just want to know who Jesus really is. Jesus honors that and respects that, and he calls you by name. It's his word within his word that speaks to our hearts. Faith comes from hearing, but it has to be combined again, Hebrews 4:2 tells us, with faith. And then the exciting and great result of that is changed lives, changed hearts, and then faith being real, a substance that you can actually give away. You can actually give it away. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I thought it was interesting that Lazarus' name means whom God helps. I've felt like Lazarus before, where it's just like, there is no way. There is no way to resurrect my life from what trouble I've gotten myself in or what trouble I feel like I'm in, or there is no way. But we serve Jesus Christ, who is not only the resurrected, but he's the resurrector. And it is so good. And I think my favorite stories to ever hear, true stories of people's lives, are to hear how God restored and resurrected those things that looked absolutely lost. And I would love for us to pray this morning for him to resurrect lives in our nation that have been destroyed, seemingly, by these hurricanes. I'd love to pray this morning that he would resurrect any places in your family or in your heart or relationship with your child that you love so dearly. Maybe you made a mistake, or maybe life just got tough. Or just resurrect inside your heart that childlike desire for Jesus that you once had. See, because the greatest thing about God's restoration or resurrection is that when you look up the word restores, you know how Joel says that God restores the years the locusts have eaten. When you look up that word restores in the Hebrew, it means to make better than it was before. See, only God can do that. Only God can do that. I like that. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you that you call us by name. You call us by name. You know our hearts. You know why we're here. You know what we're thinking. You know the things that we need to lay at your feet. And you call us by name. And you love us in spite of everything that we are and everything that we've done and everything that we will do. You still love us. Father, I thank you that you are the God of restoration, that you are the God of healing, that you are a God of all things being possible. Like you say in Luke 1:37, you tell us in your word that faith as small as a mustard seed will be able to move mountains, Matthew 11:20, and that nothing will be impossible to those who believe. Father, I just want to pray like that man who brought his son who was ill to you. And you said nothing is impossible to those who believe. And you said, oh, Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. God, we believe this morning you and your word. Please help our unbelief. Father, I ask that you would give us all a desire to just give up those yo-yo tennis shoes, those things that don't fit us anymore, the things you've told us to stop wearing, the things that you've told us to give up so you can get us something better. So that we can grow and move on and put your word first in our lives so we can change and help others so that we can be more like you. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, not knowing how and not knowing what can even be done for those that have been devastated by these hurricanes, for those that have been devastated in their lives by hurt, in any way. Father, I pray for those that are unable to forgive. I pray for those that are fearful, that feel alone. I pray in the name of Jesus for those that feel that they've lost everything. And I ask you in Jesus' name to restore. To restore. And to rebuild. God, I thank you for your miraculous word. I ask that you bring your blessings into our lives and we bless this temple and the people thereof. We need you, we thank you, and we praise you. And I ask that we go out and live this day the way that you've ordained for us to live it long, long ago.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.